that we ought to be doing. Titus chapter 2 this morning. We want to continue. We've been going through the book of Titus now for several weeks and want to continue our study through this book. One of the great assets in a church is the godly ladies that we have in our membership, and we are blessed here at Heritage with some wonderful, wonderful ladies. We're certainly thankful for them. And the truth of the matter is, if you stop and think about it, that should not surprise us. And the reason it shouldn't surprise us is because the Bible declares that women were a wonderful asset even to the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you realize that? Women were a wonderful asset to His ministry. In Luke chapter 8, verse 2 and verse 3, the Bible says, "And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, and Jonah, the wife of Chuza, Herod's servant, or steward, and Susanna, and many others," notice this, "which ministered unto Him of their substance." In other words, these were women who had met the Lord Jesus Christ. Their lives had been totally changed by His saving power. And as a result of that, now we find that they gave themselves, they gave their time, gave their energy to follow Him. But not only that, they gave of their substance, which in our day and age simply means they put their money where their mouth was. And with their substance, they helped in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as far as we know, these women never argued among themselves about who would be the greatest in the kingdom. The men did that, but not, as far as we know, the women never did that. Women never argued about who would be the greatest in the kingdom. In fact, maybe, fellas, that's why when the Lord Jesus arose from the dead, the first person He appeared to was a woman. Did you ever think about that? Just a thought. I don't want to go too far with that. I don't want you women to get proud, okay? But just a thought. Just a thought. Not only did women play a big part in the ministry of the Lord Jesus, as you go through, you find women also had a great impact in the ministry of the Apostle Paul. For example, the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 16, verse 1, verse 2, he said, "I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is in Caesarea, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that you assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you." Notice this, "For she hath been a succorer of many, and of myself also." Now, according to the Enhanced Strong Lexicon, that word succorer that we find there in our text, it actually is a word that is used to refer to a female guardian or protectress or patroness, caring for the affairs of others and aiding them with her resources. And that was Phoebe. That's exactly the kind of lady that Phoebe was in the ministry of the Apostle Paul. She served her church, she served the Apostle Paul, and she served many other people as well by freely and generously giving of her time. That is, she gave her energies, her talents to help, to encourage, to strengthen those who were serving Christ. But again, not only did she give her own self, she gave her substance. She gave her finances to help to meet the needs of those who were investing their lives in the work of God. And so certainly a church is blessed when it has a group of ladies whose heart's desire is to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and to help His work to move forward. But many times women face the same temptations that men face. Many times they face the same temptations that the men face. And so when they get older, they begin to think about retirement from serving God. Remember we talked about that last time? They begin to think about retirement from serving God, or they become convinced that, well, I'm getting on up in years and I'm no longer able to contribute to the ministry. But let me just remind you the passage that we saw last week concerning old men. It applies to old women as well. It's found in Psalm 92, verse 12 and following. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit. Get it? They still bring forth fruit in old age. Still. Fruitful, productive. They shall be fat and flourishing. Don't recommend you tell that to a lady. To show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. And so the Apostle Paul, as he's writing this letter of instructions to this young preacher, Titus, he's told him that he's to be preaching sound doctrine. And we saw last time he's to be preaching sound doctrine to the old men. Now we find that he's also going to be challenged and encouraged and commissioned to preach sound doctrine to the old women. Now that creates a problem. My wife asked me, "What are you preaching on?" I said, "Well, this Sunday I'm going to be preaching on old women." She said, "Well, that's a wasted message. We don't have any old women in our church." So I'm not going to argue about that. I'm not going to talk to, I'll talk to the older women. Okay? Older women. In other words, those who are older than the youth. Okay? Those older than the youth. Three things that I want us to notice in our text. That the Apostle Paul is going to instruct Titus about when it comes to ministering to the older women in a church. First of all, I want you to notice the women who are addressed. The women addressed. One commentator has well noted, in fact I included this quote in your notes, but one writer has well noted that women have duties peculiar to their age. The younger have duties of obedience. The middle-aged have the cares of home life. And the aged have the instruction of the younger. The aged have the instruction of the younger. And that's exactly what we find in our text in verse number 3. The aged women likewise. The aged women likewise. That's the same thing as we saw before concerning the aged men. It simply means, sorry ladies, it means they're old already, okay? It means they're old already. In other words, these are women who, just like the aged men, these are women who have been through the joys of life. And they've been through the heartaches of life. These are women who have experienced the ups in life, and they've gone through the valleys and the down times in life. In other words, these are women who have lived and they know what life is really all about. They've experienced it. They've been through it. Therefore, just like the aged men, just like the old men, these ladies need to be ministered to, and they need to be ministered to, the Apostle Paul said, with sound doctrine. They need to be ministered to with sound doctrine. And so let's notice how this looks. Notice the women admonished, number 2. The women admonished. In our text, we find that Titus, by the preaching of sound doctrine, was to admonish these older women in 4 very important areas. First of all, they were to be admonished that they should be holy. They should be holy. The aged women, verse number 3, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Matthew Henry, in his commentary, said it this way. He said, both men and women must accommodate their behavior to their profession. That simply means you ought to act like what you talk like you believe. In other words, the way we live ought to be a mirror of what we actually believe in our heart. That's what he's talking about. In other words, as believers in Jesus Christ, both men and women are to put on holiness. We sang the song a few minutes ago, Take Time to Be Holy, and every time I hear that song, I'm reminded of a story I heard about a certain fellow in a certain church somewhere in a certain place. That's kind of vague, isn't it? But he got up and he told the church, he said, folks, we want to sing the song, Take Time to Be Holy. But because of time, we'll only sing two verses. That's kind of the attitude most people have, isn't it? It's kind of the attitude that most people have. And yet the Bible teaches that we are to admonish with sound doctrine, both men and women, that they're to be holy. They're to be holy. In other words, as the Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 to 5, speaking specifically to women, here's what he said. He said, "Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and wearing of gold and putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. That which is not corruptible. Even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price." That simply means it's highly valued by God. Verse number 5, "For after this manner did in the old time the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves." What did they adorn themselves? Not with fancy hairdos and golden chains and all of that kind of stuff, but rather they adorned themselves with a spirit of meekness, a spirit of humility, a spirit of quietness. You see, ladies, contrary to what the advertisers would have you to believe, a woman's true beauty is not seen on the outside. The Bible talks about taking a jewel of gold and putting it in a pig's snout. And you can fix up a pig, but it's still a pig, right? You can deck him out really nice, but still a pig. Still a pig. And the truth of the matter is, ladies, your greatest beauty is not what's on the outside. Your greatest beauty is what comes from the inside. It's what comes from the inside. Now, that doesn't mean that a godly woman should not fix up. A little bit of paint will help any barn look better, right? And so, help me out here, guys. I'm getting in deep water here. The truth of the matter is, though, you know, nothing wrong with that. Please understand, nothing wrong with that in moderation. But the point is simply that a woman's greatest beauty, her truest beauty, is not what's painted on, but it's what comes from outside the heart. Comes from inside the heart. Titus was to preach. He was to preach sound doctrine so that these older women would have a true beauty that would be manifested in a life of holiness and in their walk with God. Not only are they to be holy, but the Apostle Paul also told Titus that he should preach sound doctrine to the aged women in order that they might be honest. In order that they might be honest, the aged women, that they be not false accusers, verse number 3 says. The point is simply this. The old men, or the old women rather, were not to be false accusers who would use their tongues to slander other people, to talk about other people. Now, I know we try to dress up what we do, and we say, well, I want to share this with you about so-and-so so that you can pray more intelligently. Why don't we just call it what it is? It's sanctified gossip. That's what it is. Sanctified gossip. And most of it probably isn't even true. Probably isn't even true. And so the Apostle Paul says that we're to use sound doctrine to encourage the aged women. Don't become false accusers who go around spreading things that are not totally true. It could be 90% true. And 10% a lie. But you know that 10% makes the whole thing a lie, right? Just that 10% makes the whole thing to be an untruth. If it's not totally true, then it's totally a lie. Totally a lie. And so they're not to use their tongue to be a false accuser. Of course, Solomon in the book of Proverbs gives us reasons why this is so important. Proverbs 16:28, because a wicked tongue separates friends. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 8, a wicked tongue inflicts wounds into the lives of others. Proverbs chapter 6 verse 19, a wicked tongue sows discord among the brethren. And so the admonition to the aged women is that they are to be learning sound doctrine so that when they use their tongues, they will not be false accusers, but they will use their tongues in an honest way. In an honest way. Apostle Paul also told Titus that he's to preach sound doctrine to the women in order that they should be abstinent. Abstinent. The aged women, verse 3, that they be not given to much wine. They not be given to much wine. Now this does not imply that it is okay for old women to be social drinkers. As long as it's not too much, you know. That's the out that people try to grab a hold of. The point is simply that these are women are not to be drunkards. When it says they're not to be given to much wine, it doesn't say it's okay to drink. No, it just means don't be a drunk. Don't be a drunk. And by the way, no drunk ever started by being a drunk. Every drunk you've ever met started as a social drinker. That's where it always starts. And so the idea is don't even go down that path. Stay away from it. And so he's to teach the older women that they are to be abstinent. To be abstinent. In other words, instead of being controlled by wine, the admonition here is that they are to follow the teaching in Ephesians 5:18. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled. In other words, be intoxicated with, be totally under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God. That's the admonition. And so Titus was to preach sound doctrine so that the older women would surrender themselves fully to God and that they might be fully filled and fully controlled by the Spirit of God. And there's a very good reason why the Apostle Paul told Titus to be teaching these women about living a holy life and about being honest and about being abstinent. And the reason why Titus was to teach these older women all of these things is because they were also to be teachers. They're to be teachers. All ministry, whether it is done from a pulpit by a pastor, or whether it's done before a Sunday school class by a teacher, or whether it's done in a one-on-one relationship dealing with sharing the gospel or discipling someone to help them to grow in spiritual maturity, you need to understand all ministry, to be effective ministry, must be done in the power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says without Him, we can't do anything. Can't do anything. And the old women are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the reason clearly stated, verse number 3, the aged women, that they be teachers of good things. So these old women, because of their age, because of their experiences going through life, they have a wealth of valuable information that they can share. But this teaching, again, it's not to be done in their own strength and their own power. It's to be done in the power of the Holy Spirit. And in order to be used of the Holy Spirit, we have to be clean vessels. We have to be clean vessels. So these old women are to be clean, they're to be right in the sight of God in order that they might be empowered by God to teach others. But I want you to notice that they have a very specific teaching ministry. They have a very specific teaching ministry which God has entrusted to them. So let's notice number three, the women's ministry. The women's ministry, that they may teach the young women. That's the ministry of the older women. The ministry that God has given to you ladies who are, you're not old, okay, but you're on up in years a little bit. The ministry God has given to you is to teach those ladies who are younger than you. Teach those ladies who are younger than you. That they teach the young women, the Apostle Paul said. That they teach the young women. Now, when it says young women, it's not talking about little kids who happen to be female. When it talks about young women, it's talking about these are young women, but they are married women. And not only are they married, these are young women who have children. And so they're of that age where we would say young adults, perhaps. Young adults. But it's interesting that Titus was not commanded to teach the young women. Did you catch that? The pastor is not commissioned to teach the young women. I think there's two reasons why that is true. First of all, it's to protect the preacher. To protect the preacher. There are many stories of pastors who have started giving serious counseling to a young woman one-on-one, and it has ended up in an adulterous relationship. That has happened more times than I even care to think about. And so the Apostle Paul did not say, Titus, you go counsel these young women. He said, no, you teach the old women so they can teach the young women. You give sound doctrine to the older ladies so that then they can then enter into the work of ministering to the younger women. Protect the pastor. Not only do I believe it's to protect the pastor, but it's also to give practical help. I mean, let's face it, ladies, you can share things with other ladies that I don't even have a clue about. I couldn't even imagine some of the things, you see. But you've been through it. You've experienced it. And so you older ladies are so well equipped by the experiences that you have faced as a lady that you can share with younger ladies. I've never been a lady. In fact, I never even thought I was. You know, that kind of that seems to be the trend these days, you know. I'm a woman trapped in a man's body. Never had that problem. But you older ladies, you can help the younger ladies because you've been there. You've been through these experiences. You can help them. You can give them guidelines and instructions and encouragement to face the things that they have to face. So what is it that you are to teach the younger ladies? As an older lady in HBC, what is it that God would have you, as you become built up with sound doctrine, what is it that God would want you to be teaching to the younger ladies? Eight things that we find mentioned in the text. We ought to be done by 2:00. I'm just kidding. Eight things we find mentioned. Look at it, Titus chapter 2, verse 4 and verse 5. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. Let's go back and look at these. First of all, they are to be sober. They are to be sober. As we have seen before, this refers to the idea of being alert, being diligent to watch out for the spiritual dangers that are all around. Remember, our enemy, the devil, like a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. And so Peter said, be sober. Be vigilant. Be on guard. Be watching. That's exactly what the older women are to be teaching the younger women. They're to teach the younger women how that they might learn not to be controlled by their hormones, that they might learn to avoid the two great extremes that women face in life, which are an exaggerated pessimism and an extreme idealism. How to live in the middle of those two things. So be sober. Be sober. How to love their husbands. How to love their husbands. Now, you understand, my wife is very fortunate because her husband is perfect. Please don't ask her about that. She has a different opinion. But not all women are as blessed as my wife is blessed. Since I'm doing the preaching, I might as well take advantage, right? And so, because of that, see, because of that, there are some young wives who have a problem loving the man they have married. I've had young ladies tell me one time, I never will forget, Ginger and I were counseling with a couple. And she made the statement. She said, we got married. The next morning when I woke up, I knew I made a mistake. What a heartbreaking thing. What a heartbreaking thing. Older women teach the younger women how to love their husband, because sometimes, just to be real honest with you, he's a jerk. He's not very lovable. Sometimes he's a real pain in the neck. Somebody asked my wife one time, said, do you ever wake up grumpy? She said, no, sometimes I let him sleep. Older ladies teach the younger ladies how to love their husband, because sometimes the husband does not love his wife as Christ loved the church. The younger ladies need to be taught how to love their husband, because sometimes their husband does not love his wife as he loves himself, which is exactly what the Bible commands, right? So a young lady sometimes has to learn how to love somebody who is frankly not lovable. Not lovable. And there are times when every husband will fail to love his wife as he should. And therefore the older woman, she's already been through all of this. She's experienced it. She's been through it. So therefore the older lady who has experienced days of being disappointed and hurt by the husband that she has married can help the younger woman to learn how to love her husband even when he has disappointed her. Older women can teach the younger women, let her see how to love their children. How to love their children. Now the world has all kinds of advice on loving children, but let me just tell you that the world's advice is diametrically opposed to what the Bible says about loving your children. See, the world says if you don't love your if you love your child, you'll never spank your child. Did you know the Bible says the exact opposite? The Bible says if a man doesn't chasten his child, he hates his child. Hates him. And so the idea of the world and the clear statements of Scripture, they are diametrically opposed to one another. And the fact is, no one can teach a young woman better than an older woman who has already raised a family. Right? Already raised a family. And if this older lady has failed to raise godly children and her children have turned out to be a source of heartache and pain for her, then the older lady can teach the younger lady. Let me tell you something. This is what you don't do. I went that way and it doesn't work. Or if she's raised godly children, and she said, hey, here's what you should do, see. Here's what you should do. To love their children. Let her be to be discreet. The word simply means to act wisely. In other words, the older lady is to teach the younger lady how to avoid being simple-minded. That is, being easily led astray. The older women can teach the younger women how to avoid becoming a scoffer. That is, one who is overly critical and sarcastic about everything that's going on around them. She can teach the younger lady how to avoid being a fool. One who thinks only of themselves and no one else. She can teach the younger lady how to avoid being a sluggard. Being lazy and not taking care of the needs of her family. How to be discreet. All of those things are included in that. She can also teach the younger lady how to be chaste. Verse number 5, how to be chaste. And the word simply means morally pure. Morally pure. And by the way, there is more than the physical adultery that is included in this. There is also the emotional adultery. Ladies, you need to be careful. You need to be careful when you begin to seek emotional support from some man other than your husband. Because that is emotional adultery. And the sad fact is that emotional adultery will invariably lead to physical adultery. You better make sure that your man is your man and you don't look to other men to satisfy any need that you have in your life. Whether it is physical, emotional, or spiritual, your husband is the one you look to. Be chaste. Be homemakers. Verse number 5. In other words, follow the example of that lady in Proverbs chapter 31. You ever read that chapter? Proverbs chapter 31 describes the perfect wife. And the only reason the name wasn't given, because if they put Ginger there, you folks would be jealous. See, I just made up for before, right? Okay. Homemakers. Take care of your home. Take care of your home. Keeping it clean, keeping it neat, so that your family has a nice place to live. Be a homemaker. Read Proverbs 31. Verse number 5. Older ladies can teach the younger ladies to be good. To be good. The word actually comes from a Greek word which carries a bit of a stronger meaning. It means to be kind and to be benevolent. To be kind and to be benevolent. In other words, the older ladies can teach the younger ladies not to be selfish and self-centered and self-focused. But the older ladies can teach the younger ladies how to always be sensitive to recognizing the needs that are around them and seeking to meet the needs of others. And be submissive. The older wife is to teach the younger wife how to be submissive to her own husband. To her own husband. Just as the church, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 to 24, just as the church is to be submissive to Christ, the older ladies are to teach the younger ladies that they need to be submissive to their husbands. Question is why? Why is all this so important? Why is it that this ministry has been entrusted to you older ladies? Why is it that God has commissioned you to carry out this work? Notice the answer in verse number 5, very last part of the verse, that the word of God be not blasphemed. That the Word of God be not blasphemed. You see, here's the thing that I want you to understand. And this is true regardless of what age you may fit in and what your gender may be. Whether you're an old man, young man, old lady, young lady, doesn't matter. It all works the same. And the point is simply this. As a believer in Jesus Christ, you need to understand God's word is always judged by how God's people live their life. Did you get that? God's word is always going to be judged by how God's people live their lives. And so the older women are to teach the younger women that the younger women might live in such a way that God's word will not be blasphemed, but rather that God's word might be lifted up, exalted, honored, and glorified before all men. What a great ministry, ladies. What a great ministry you have that has been entrusted to you. It's a ministry I can't do. It's a ministry the deacons can't do. But it's a ministry that God has entrusted to you. And it's so vitally important. So vitally important. So ladies, as you grow older in your chronological years, I hope that you'll make the determination, just as we challenged the men before, don't think it's time to quit. Don't think it's time to give up. Don't think it. God has nothing that you can do for His honor and for His glory within His church. God has a place for you. There's a ministry for you. And I hope you'll determine that by God's grace, you're going to be the older lady that God wants you to be, helping the younger ladies to be the ladies God wants them to be, that God's word might not be blasphemed. Heavenly Father, thank you.